All right, good to see y'all tonight. We're going to look at the covenants in the Bible. Now, you may think, okay, what in the world is that? Well, the reason I had that idea was because this past Sunday, if you were here this past Sunday, we talked about the covenant of the rainbow and the agreement that God made with Noah. And so some of this stuff like this, I can't do on Sunday mornings, obviously. Other than doing, you know, like we did about Noah and the rainbow and all of that. So I want to go in just a little deeper, if we can, and look at the covenants. And when you study the Bible, already you know, we've been over this and over this and over this so many times, it sounds like a broken record. But when you study the Bible, it has to be rightly divided. And a good way to do that is by studying the covenants. Now, when you look at this chart, I think Brother Charlie has passed you out one for your take home, stick in your Bible, whatever. This one's just a little different. Obviously, this guy can draw a whole lot better than I can. But my chart up here is a little deceiving, and by that I mean when I say the Edenic covenant, it appears that it starts here and ends right here. And that's not the case. I'll give you, for instance, the Noahic covenant. The covenant made with Noah, with the rainbow. Well, guess what? That covenant is still going on today. Because he made that agreement. He said, I will not destroy this earth ever again by water. Well, we're still under that same covenant. I can guarantee you 100%, unless God is a liar, and he's not, that this world will never be destroyed by water. Why? Because of that covenant he made with Noah. So it don't end right there. That Noahic covenant is still in continuation. I think you can tell that by this. You see how underneath that Noahic covenant, the flood, it carries on out, you know, even until the earth is destroyed by fire, if you'll see that, if you could follow that. That's just an example. So hopefully, by all of that, we can study this together. Now, let's look at the definition of a covenant. In the Bible, you've heard this before as well, the law of first mention. The law of first mention in the Bible is very important. And the reason it's important is because if you want to, if you would go to the first time a word is mentioned, I'll give you, for instance, the word worship. What is worship? People have a lot of different definitions of worship. The true definition is found if you look up the first time that word is used. It's found in Genesis 22, first time the word is used. And if you'll go to the law of first mention, the first time the word is used, 9 times out of 10, that same definition will run all the way through the Bible. All right, let me give you another one. I think I've got this one down. Here's one that everybody's interested in. Love. Everybody wants to know about love. And when you think about love, you think of love between a husband and a wife, or something like that. Well, and there are proper definitions for that. But if you look at the law of first mention, the law of first mention. Love, I'm going to have to look back here because my screen back there is not working tonight. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. That's the first time the word is used in the Bible. Here's what we can gather from that, the law of first mention. True love in that Bible has to do with a father and his son. You see? Now, that doesn't mean a mom don't love her daughter. Doesn't mean that. But true Bible love in that Bible has to do with a father loving his son. I'll give you another verse that goes along with that. Watch this. 1 John. Is it 1 John 4? In this was manifest the love of God toward us, okay? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The love of God, what is the love of God? It's a love between a father and his only begotten Son. Here's another one. Oh, this is the next verse, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. How did he love us? And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So you study the word love all through the Bible, and you'll find this. The definition in that Bible is totally different than what you see on television. So, the law of first mention. Now, with all of that said, then let's go and let's look at this word covenant. The word covenant. The first time the word is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 6. Now, I didn't put that on the screen because, guess what? If you were here Sunday, we read it Sunday. The covenant that God made, law of first mention, was what we preached on this past Sunday about the rainbow. That was the first mention of that covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. In other words, it's like God stuck his hand out from heaven and wanted to shake hands with man and says, I want to make an agreement with you. I will not. I promise you, Noah, I will never destroy this earth ever again by water. And here's a token. Here's a sign. A token. A sign. I'm going to put this rainbow. All right, think about it. Marriage covenant. A covenant is usually sealed with a sign or a token. All right, so the marriage covenant. What is it sealed? Right? That's what you seal that covenant with. There's always a sign or something associated with that covenant. All through the Bible, you will see that. Now, in Genesis 15, I do want to read this one. I didn't put this one on the screen for you, but let me read this one. Genesis 15, and let me show you something. This is all introduction. We ain't even started yet. Genesis 15. Verse 7, let me look. If you're not there, I'll read it till you get there, or you just listen. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees, talking to Abraham, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How am I going to know this? Okay. Verse 9, he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these and divided them in the midst. In other words, he cut them like you were dressing, like you were going to take a deer and dress it. You'd cut it in the midst. And laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not, and so on and so forth. So what he does, without reading this whole thing, what he does, he takes his animals, and to make a covenant, here's the sign. Here it is. Something has to be cut. And bloodshed. So he divides these animals. So a covenant has something to do with cutting. You ever heard this? Let's cut a deal. You ever know where that come from? That come out of the Bible. We say phrases that come out of the Bible. Most people don't know where it come from. Let's cut a deal. Let's me and you cut a deal. You ever heard? Now, don't do this now. But used to, back when I was growing up, maybe I ought not even tell this, but you had a best friend and you wanted to become blood brothers. I don't know what you girls did, but, you know, us boys were stupid. You know, we got a little knife and we just got us a little blood there and now we're blood brother. Cut. We went into covenant. Now, I know it's a kid thing, but cutting a deal. That had something to do with it. So, that covenant is at what it... Now, you say, well, in Genesis 15, you didn't even say anything about a covenant. Well, verse 18, I skipped most of all of that. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thee have I given this land from the river Egypt unto the great river the river Euphrates. And we talked about that a few Wednesday nights ago about the land he made. You know how I know that Israel's going to get that land? You know how I know? Genesis 15. He made a covenant. And if he don't give them that land in this new, in what is called the new covenant, then God's a liar. And we might as well shut the Bible, and we're wasting our time tonight. But I know he's not a liar, because God that cannot lie. And he made a covenant. He said, Abraham, you're going to get that land. And you're looking at it going, I just don't see it happening. They just changed prime ministers. Benjamin Netanyahu is out, and now they got I can't even say his name anyway. That's not the topic for tonight. But that land is coming back to the nation of Israel. So, you think about this, the cross. Does anybody remember what the soldier did with a spear? Cut. Covenant. Cut a deal with mankind. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you know what? God will save you if you will go into a covenant agreement with him under that blood covenant. And you trust his son who was cut for you and for me. So that's what that covenant has to do with. Now, before we get all into that, let me just say this, and I want to clear this up. There is a difference in a covenant and a testament. There are only two testaments. Old Testament, New Testament. A testament is made by only one person, and that's God. A covenant, there's a bunch of them. A bunch of covenants, and in its agreement between you have to have two parties or more. So when people say, well, the New Testament, that's the new covenant. They're two totally different things. Two totally different things. You know how I know covenant and testament are two different things? Because they're not spelled the same. Ain't that smart? People say, well, the New Testament, New Covenant, that's the same thing. It ain't the same thing. They ain't even spelled the same. Two totally different things. Now, here's the introduction. How did we all get here? How did we get here? Okay. Our final authority for all matters of faith and practice is this. Did you know how I know there is a heaven? Because this Bible told me so. You know how I know there's a hell? This Bible told me so. Do you know why people don't believe in heaven, don't believe in hell? Because they don't believe in this. How do I know that Jesus ever walked this earth and lived and healed blind Bartimaeus and died upon the cross and buried and rose again the third day? Because this is my final authority. Have you ever noticed that if you watch talk shows, hopefully you don't, but if you watch talk shows, and especially The View, I mean, how sickening is that? You got problems if you got time to watch that. But anyway, they have this panel, and everybody's giving their opinion. If you watch Oprah, or back when I was growing up, it was what, Dr. Phil. I don't even know if he's still on now. Dr. Phil would bring on, you know, these, whatever, experts on this particular subject. Have you ever wondered why nobody is ever on the stage, sitting in a little chair, with one of these in their lap, saying, I'm going to give you what God said on it? Because why? Nobody cares. They want to know what Dr. So-and-so, he's got a little education at Yale, and we got a Harvard graduate over here. They're going to give us their opinion on this particular subject. But nobody says, I wonder what God says about that. Because here's the deal. Brother Jeremy, what you believe about so-and-so? I don't mind giving you my opinion. But here's the deal. What does God say about that? Because guess what? Believe it or not, stay in your seat. Brother Jeremy could be wrong. But guess what? That Bible is always right. So when Brother Jeremy says something, here's where our churches are failing. when the preacher says, well, the Bible says such and such. If you ain't never heard that before, then you need to do this. Well, or after church. Don't disrupt church, but after church, say, Brother Jeremy, I need to talk to you. You said the Bible said such and such. Where is that found? Where is that found in the Bible? I need chapter and verse. Because a lot of people say, well, now the Bible says, y'all know the Bible says every tub sits on its own bottom. Now, how easily I can say that, and people's like, yeah, that's probably in Proverbs. The Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. That sounds good. I've been around some folks where that should be in the Bible, right? But guess what? The Bible, how many of you ever heard that said? The Bible says cleanness is next to godliness. It ain't. The Bible don't say that. People just say it. And a lot of times, preachers will do the same thing. Because they heard somebody else say the Bible said, and they never checked it out for themselves. But here's the deal. Preacher, where is that found at so I can write it down? That Bible is the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. Now, how did we get here? Well, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. You ever looked out into outer space and you wonder, how in the world did all of that get here? Well, there's only four ways. There's only four ways. The universe. Have you ever noticed this? Uni. Y'all ever seen that? Uni. That's one. Verse. The universe in one verse is in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. That's your universe. One verse makes up that whole universe. How do we get here? Well, ain't but four ways. The universe came from nothing accidentally. The universe came out as just all of that. It was just one big cosmic burp. And everything started running into each other, and then you got the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of that kind of stuff. Well, that's garbage. Or it's either the universe has always been here, and if the universe has always been here, have y'all noticed that the world is degenerating? In other words, we're getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Well, if the universe has always been here, it'd been destroyed by now, right? So that's not true. The universe is an optical illusion. It's all just in our mind. Scientology. If you ever heard Scientology, the Scientologists, they say, well, you got a headache. Oh, that's all in your mind. You know. Scientology, I got a toothache. Ah, it's all in your head. Yeah, a toothache is in your head. One preacher went up to a Scientologist and saw him bent over to get a pencil or something. He had a straight pen in his pocket. He just stuck him in, and boy, that preacher, woo! He said, ah, it's in your mind. Universe, that's just all in your mind. We're sitting here on a Wednesday night. It's just all in your mind. It's an optical illusion. Or the universe came from nothing supernaturally. Ain't but four ways that we got here. And those four ways. And the last one, in the beginning, God created everything supernaturally. Now, if this is true, then if there is a God, y'all believe there's a God? There's a God up there. Do y'all believe that if there is a God, and he created this whole thing and put man on here, don't you think he would want to communicate with us? Don't you think somehow he would want to reveal himself to us? Somehow. And the only way he could reveal himself to us is to give us his word, give us his son, which the word and the son, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. His son and the word. You ever wonder, people say, oh, I just wish I could walk the streets with Jesus. Every morning, you can walk any street you want to with him. People don't associate the two together. If there's a God in heaven, could he give us revelation about himself? Well, sure. He can do anything, right? If man needed helping out, wouldn't you think God would help him out? So now we have to have revelation. Now you say, why, what's revelation? Now we're not talking about the book of Revelation. We're talking about revelation. In other words, the first time you stuck your finger in a light socket, that was revelation. Because before you ever done it, you didn't know that it would do what it did. But then when you stuck your finger there, or stuck a fork or one of those, you know, and you just playing around as a kid, and you stuck your fork in one of them holes there, you got a revelation. Right? Well, God gives us a revelation of himself. Now, parents, we do the same thing. How does your kid know about light sockets? How does your kid know about matches? How does your kid know about the hot stove? We reveal to them because we love them. So kids, animals know that. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, animals get a special revelation from God? Think about this. These birds. Just take birds, for instance. You ever thought about eagles? Those birds that build nests in Alaska during the summertime. Then they fly 2,000 miles across the United States and go live somewhere else in the summertime. And when they get ready, they go back to that same nest in Alaska without a GPS, without a phone, and without anybody to talk to. Could you do it? Could you get back to the same nest you built last year, 2,000 miles away, without a GPS, without anybody to talk to? Think about it. How'd they do it? And people believe in evolution. That's an adult fairy tale. Once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banshee tree. And now I'm a professor with a PhD. Evolution. You ever thought about this? I promise we're getting there. You ever thought about this? Evolution is evolution. Evolve. So you take a little tadpole and he's this, and he gets better and turns into a frog. Then he gets better and he's evolving. He's getting better every transition. He's getting better. Then he turns into the monkey and his back starts straightening up, and he gets better and better and better and better. If evolution was true, why does your back hurt tonight? It seems like we're going the other way. We're not evolving. We're devolving. If we're evolving, why do we have funeral homes? Why do people eventually evolve and evolve and evolve and all of a sudden go to the funeral home? It don't make sense, people. Now, I know y'all believe that. I'm just saying, sometimes we forget to think about this stuff. In the beginning, God. Now, Here's what the Bible says. All right? You have to first believe in God, which I'm hoping everybody in here does. If you believe in God, then he's up there. If he's up there, he wants to communicate with us. How does he communicate with us? He don't call us on the phone. How does a God that created that, living up there, communicate with mankind down here? I thought about this today, driving down the road. Y'all think God could get along without us? He was doing just fine before he created Adam. Y'all think he can get along without us? Then why don't he just wipe us off the face of the map? And he's leaving us here because he wants to communicate with us. He's trying his best to communicate with people out there, to a lost and dying world, that there is a God in heaven who loves them. And the love that he had was a love between a father and his only begotten son. And he sends hurricanes, he sends tsunamis, and he sends earthquakes and all of that, trying to communicate with people. So that's where these covenants come in. What is this? God communicating with mankind. God communicating with mankind all through the Bible. And when we look at that, you have to believe. Think, all right, Psalm 19 in verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech." Have y'all ever heard the heavens talk? Well, the Bible says, day unto day, they utter a speech. They're telling you something. When you look up into the sky, now some of you look at me like, man, why are we in science class? What I'm trying to get to in your mind and get us to thinking before we start all of this is God created this thing to speak to his people. The heavens declare that. You ever thought? You say, how in the world does the heaven speak? Well, there's 12 zodiac signs up there, right? I'm not talking about reading your horoscope every day. You know, if you're a Capricorn, somebody's going to trip and fall tomorrow. Well, I promise you, a Capricorn somewhere is going to trip and fall tomorrow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God put those signs. It starts out with Virgo, the Virgin. Virgo in the sky. You study the star. Virgo. Guess what Virgo's got? Got a little baby. Not going to go all the signs, but it starts with Virgo. Guess where it ends? Was it Leo or Libra? Which one is the lion? Leo. The lion. It starts with the Virgin and ends with a lion. The line of the tribe of Judah. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. So, you know what that means? Romans chapter 1 comes into play, and let me show you this. Well, I may have had, hang on, I may have done something for you here. Watch this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. How did God show it unto them? Okay, watch. For the invisible things of him from the what? From the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, guess what? So they are without excuse. You ever had somebody ask you this? Well, what about so-and-so on the backside of somewhere and ain't never heard? They don't have a Bible. They don't have a church. The heavens declare the glory of God. You won't find anybody on the backside that don't worship something. Because they look up into the sky, and it's almost like looking at an airplane flying over. And it's flying 10,000, 15,000 feet up in the air, and we're standing down here and we're watching it. And when, you know what we're thinking? We're thinking, there's a pilot up there flying it. How do you know? Do you see him? We assume, because there's something moving up there, we assume something's driving that thing. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Obviously, somebody's driving it, flying it. So you go out tonight, the stars are on dress display, you look up there and you say, there's a God somewhere. They may not know Jesus Christ. They may not have a King James Bible. They may not have a church on every street corner. But they look up and say, somebody put that all together. It's like taking your watch apart and putting all the pieces. Take that thing apart, unscrew everything, and put it in 15,000 pieces. Screws, all the screws, everything. And put them in a sack. And start there. Do that sack up and down. Do that for about a million years. Will that watch ever come together? Let me help you. Mm-mm. But that's what the evolutionist says. Out there in the creation, that thing just going up and down all the way around, and all of a sudden, it just came together. No, that watch had a designer. When you look across this room, every one of you had a designer. Every one of us in here have separate hand fingerprints. They say, don't know this for sure, but they say that every snowflake that falls is different. There's somebody up there putting it all together. Now, you're saying Romans chapter 1, things are, so they are without excuse. Watch this. All right, let me think. Okay, did y'all know that there is a tribe of, I don't know if they're Indian, I'm not sure. Tribe of something. They don't have a Bible. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't have a church to go to. It'll take you 10 miles to walk and get back to where they're living. But in their community, if somebody steals something, you know what they do? They cut your hand off. If you steal something again, you know what they do? Cut the other one off. Do you know where that's found? In the book of Leviticus. How do they know to do that? They don't have a Bible. They don't go to church like you do. The conscience. There is no such thing as an atheist. Y'all do realize that, right? Atheist. Theos is God. Atheist. Somebody help me. God. Against. Is against God. Atheist means against God. The ah is against. Theos is God. That's the Greek word for God. Theos. Against God. You have to believe in a God to be first against him. Did you know I've never met an atheist in the ICU waiting room? I've never met an atheist at the hospital. I've never met an atheist out on the side of the road where the car is turned upside down. It's done caught on fire, and somebody's stuck in the car and can't get out. They're trying to crawl their way out, and their fingernails are digging into the pavement out there. And you know what the last thing they say? They ain't never darkened the door of a church, never read a Bible, don't even know. They've taken God's name in vain, and they've cussed him and everything else. And you know what the last thing they say before they take their last breath? Oh, God, help me. There's something on the inside you're born with. That don't mean you're saved. That don't mean you're going to heaven. But God instills that. He communicates with man and says, I'm up here. And you know why they don't want to believe in him? Because if you do believe in him, that means we'll have to stand before him one day. So if you can get rid of him, that means we can live like we want to. I won't have to stand before nobody because I don't give an account to nobody. Better be careful. There's a God up there. All right, what about this one? You're talking about the conscience. The conscience that's down on the inside of you. All right, y'all ready for this one? The first time you took a puff off a cigarette, the first time you took your first drink, the first time you took, you tried drugs or whatever. Let me ask you. Let me prove my point right here. Where did you do it at? Let me ask you this. Did you do it at the dinner table with mom and dad right across from you? Why? Why didn't you? If there's no God, why didn't you do it at the dinner table? You know what we did? We went behind the barn, out in the middle of the field in high school, hid. What's that sound like? Went and hid. What's that sound like? Adam and Eve sinned against God. You know what they did? They went and hid. God comes to the Adam. Adam. It wasn't that he didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. Adam, where art thou? Well, we just sort of hiding over here. You ever seen a little kid when they did something wrong? Their hand got caught in the cookie jar. What'd you do? I didn't do nothing. We do the same. That conscience on the inside. A person that ain't never been to church, never read a Bible, don't believe in Jesus, took their first drink, not in front of mom and daddy. Why? Because there was something down in there that says, you know, something ain't right about this. So before we can ever get into this, I just want you to know, yes, I would hope and pray, as long as y'all been in church, you do believe in God. But I hope tonight it's become a little plainer that there is a God up there, and he does speak to his people. And so here's what happens. And we're winding her down. Here's what happens, just for the introduction, before we get in all these. Here's what happens. That special revelation. Remember, the signs in the heavens, they speak. They speak to people. Our conscience inside speaks to us. That's all up here. That's all head knowledge. You can go the backside of somewhere, it's them tribes. Guess what? They worship a God. They may not know that he's who we say he is, or that Bible says he is, because they don't have a Bible, but they worship somebody. Head knowledge. But guess what? There was a day when I was a 10-year-old boy. It went from here down to here. There's a difference. A lot of people know about God. They know. You ever heard? This drives me nuts. And if y'all have ever said it, look, I don't remember. Well, we worship the good Lord, the man upstairs. That's disrespectful. He's not the man upstairs. You ever watched on the Emmy Awards, the Grammy Awards and all this after they just got done taking all their clothes off to sing a song to you? They get up behind the mic and say, well, I just want to give glory to God. Somebody ought to slap them. We just want to give thanks to the man upstairs. There's a head knowledge, but it ain't never got down here yet. See the difference? God wants to communicate with mankind. And it's got to move from here down to here. That's what we call a general revelation. And this is a special revelation. This is where it gets down into my heart. Where that word, in the beginning God created, yes, got that. But then there comes a point to where you go to John 1:1, and where John 1:1 says, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God. John 1:1 says this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was anything made that was made. The Word, verse 14, became flesh, and we dwelt among Him, or He dwelt among us. That person came down to this earth as the Word of God. Jesus Christ was the living Word. We have the written Word. And He came. God wanted to communicate with people so bad that He sent His only Son. That's what true love is. Communicating with God's people. Communicating with the whole world. Because guess what? It'd be a whole lot easier just to wipe us off. He can do just fine without us. If you ever get into thinking that God can't make it without you, you got problems. God can make it just fine without us. But I'm sure glad He wants to talk to us and communicate with us. So hopefully next Wednesday night we'll start. He communicates with Adam. And just by the Edenic, you know where that's at, Eden. There's where we find the creation of man. And whoa, man. Now, I've always joked about that, because especially on Sunday morning, I say, well, you know, woman came from man, and when Adam woke up, he said, whoa, man. And that's all funny and good. But in our society today, people don't know the difference. Man, and then a woman is a man with a womb. Man, and then there's a man with a womb called woman. You ever notice that? Womb. He can't give birth. She can. And there is a difference. There is a difference. And we're living in a society now to where we've stopped making the difference and making these all one.